In the world of Washington, where the political process is getting to be one big joke, it's the mission of Congressman Bob Forehead to maintain the appearance of substance. It was Bob Forehead's first ambition to become a TV game show host, but with the help of charismaticians, the support of the tycoon sector, a JFK haircut, and convincing buzzwords, Forehead has become an important player in Congress. Forehead is the creation of Mark Allen Stamaty, whose syndicated political cartoon strip Washington is published in The Village Voice, The Washington Post, and 35 other papers. We asked Stamaty to review the year 1990 in the world of Washington. As readers of Washington know, war is about to break out in the region between the Middle East and the Far East, the region known as the Three Quarters East. You see, with the decline of manufacturing in the United States, America has been moving towards a sneaker-based economy. And essential raw materials for these high-tech sneakers are found in the Three Quarters East countries of Turania and Fanatistan.
This sneaker relies on a computer chip that particularly functions in a sneaker, in the particular environment of a sneaker, and is the right size and is flexible, etc. And it's made out of a certain kind of sand. And the only place in the world where they have this sand is in the desert of Fanatistan. So King Fanaticus of Fanatistan is starting to make deals with the pretense company that developed the sneaker. And at the same time, the leader of Tyrania, Colonel Lanoyu, is jealous of this desert now, and so he wants to basically grab the desert. What occurs is that the United States finds itself in a position where they've been friends and enemies of the various dictators in the region of the Three Quarters East over a period of time. Now what's happened is they want to pursue a balanced policy. Which is because they want to end up on the winning side of this war, because the U.S. economy depends on it, and therefore they're basically going to send troops to both sides. They're going to send military support to both sides of the war, which means that at some point U.S. troops might be fighting each other, which they're not sure if the American people will support a war where U.S. troops fight each other for the purpose of sneakers.
Now, where does Congressman Bob Forehead stand on the issue of war?
Basically, he wants to come out a winner, too. So he basically makes emphatic, angry, vague statements with with always mentioning that he has some reservations, which he doesn't want to enunciate because he doesn't want to, interfere with the administration's policy. Therefore, If the war turns out to be successful, he can point to his passionate anger, in favor of whatever, in favor of the war effort, or supporting the administration vaguely. If he and if they lose, he can say, now I can tell you what my reservations were, and he can use all his Monday morning quarterbacking as plug him into his reservations.
From reading Washington, it seems to me you're amused by how slowly it became acceptable to raise the subject of the SNL crisis. Politicians used to consider it an issue too boring to even consider bringing up.
Yeah, I think, there's a funny thing about democracy and self-government. It's one thing is that there is this basic sort of problem, which is that it seems like our economy is at the bottom of an awful lot of troubles. Our economy, everybody's economy, and it also is, they always say people vote their pocketbook. At the same time, the real nuts and bolts of what it's about, like the nuts and bolts of the emerging SNL crisis, the nuts and bolts of the budget problems, of Social Security, all these things, most people can't crunch the numbers. Most people can't understand the math, and when they call it self-government, the actual math of the thing and the thing is so vastly complex, and that critical issue is now really beginning to hit us, and even when people said for years it was going to hit us, but in the campaigns of 84 and 88, you couldn't get anybody to really deal with the issue of the budget deficit and yeah, go ahead.
How are your characters in Washington trying to exploit the SNL crisis to their own advantage?
I'm not sure if the SNL crisis has been exploited. I mean, but Bob Forehead has had for a long time the deficit denial amendment, which was his solution. basically is to just deny that it exists, and nobody could tell anyway, really. But he hasn't been able to get far enough with that. But I think, you know, that could really sell, and that could really make him a national figure.
Yeah, it sounds good. That sounds good. Now, one powerful senator in your strip has been trying to crack down on homoerotic imagery. What's one of the things he hit on this year?
What happened was that the Hubble telescope was sent up into space, and it was taking photographs that because they had a problem with the lens, it didn't the images weren't clear, and they were and a lot of these photographs of space were kind of useless to the to NASA. However, there was a museum in Washington that thought they were rather lovely, and so they put these photos of these stars on view. But there was a senator in Washington that went to the exhibit and found that they were contained suggestions of homoerotic imagery. So he was threatening to cancel the space program.
You know, more than any other political cartoon I can think of, your comic criticizes not just the rotten apples and the bad decisions, but the whole political system and all of Washington political culture.
Yeah, I was invited to do this. I mean, I was doing a comic strip in the Village Voice, and I got a call from Meg Greenfield, who's the editorial op-ed page editor of the Washington Post. And I think one reason she might have done that is because I have a certain... Because my view of the world and the world I was in was very different in a certain way, and so there's a certain basic it's a fascination and aversion that I have to the way the whole place runs. I mean, one thing is it's exceedingly pragmatic, which is interesting and disturbing at the same time, and there's a kind of a cold, sterile pragmatic quality to Washington where they, for instance, I mean, I had a cartoon about a cocktail party where it's the guy goes around and says, you know, how do you do, what are you, and the person tells him what job they are in, and if he doesn't offer him enough networking advantage, you know, professionally, then he would toss him over his shoulder, you know, thanks, but I don't need you, and he'd toss him over his shoulder, and then another one, he'd toss him over his shoulder, and then until he gets to somebody who's connected, and then, you know, this is the jackpot, and so there's a certain way that people aren't people down there, and that it's very troubling and fascinating at the same time.
You're still living in New York, right?
Yes.
How much time do you spend in Washington? How often do you feel like you have to go down there to, like, witness firsthand what happens in Washington political life?
Well, in the beginning, I went down. I was down there 3 or 4 days a week, every other week, every week. Sometimes I was down there, you know, sometimes a week at a time or something. I spent a lot of time there because I wanted to feel the vibration of the city, really, because I'd spent a lot of time in New York and I knew what New York felt like, and I felt it viscerally, and I wanted to feel Washington viscerally. So in the early years, I spent a tremendous amount of time there. Now I go down, I'd say periodically, which is maybe once every couple of months or something, because I don't feel like I have to be there as much, because basically now when I hear the news and when I read the papers, I know what it feels like down there. I know how it feels to sit in a hearing room of Congress. I know how it feels to sit in the White House. I know how it feels to be around journalists and the pack of journalists. I know how all the things feel, and so I can apply that ongoing, you know, environment that I've internalized to whatever is occurring. So it's not as necessary as it was previously.
Well, here's something about you that I think most of your readers won't know. On your resume, which is, by the way, handwritten, you write 1956 to present, occasional Elvis Presley impersonator.
Yeah.
Now, that appeared a little more formally in Who's Who, where it said, avocation, : impersonating Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
So what's the story?
Let's see. Well, you want me to hum a few bars? No.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, tell me if, I don't know if this is just that, right? What happened was I was a nut of an Elvis Presley fan when I was a kid. And then later on, one time I was at a party about 12 years ago and some people had some guitars and I picked up on it again. And I do, so I do it now periodically. I do every so often. I have a gold suit, you know, a gold jacket and everything. And I don't know if it'll sound right on the radio, but I could try to do some if you
want
to try to do it.
Yeah.
I try a little bit of maybe one, like, bless my soul, what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends said I'm acting queer as a bug. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Oh, hey, hey, I'm all shook up. Does that sound right? if it sounds bad, I...
Oh, no, that's terrific. This is the last thing I was expecting. That's really good. You did it with real heart.
But if it was really off key.
No.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
I thought you were good.
Oh, good.
Have you been in any of those contests?
I've never. No. Oh, you know, one time I had worked all night on my deadline, and somebody had told me there's this Elvis audition in Times Square somewhere. And like, I was up all night, and after I delivered my deadline, I ran up there and I went on this thing, and I tried out for this whatever it was, but I didn't get the part. But I don't know what my, you know, in the. Amongst the you know, half a million Elvis Presley or more Elvis Presley imitators in the world, I don't know what my standing would be. So.
Mark Allen Stamaty is the creator of the political cartoon strip Washington, and someday I hope to see him in his gold lamé jacket. This is Fresh Air.